You are listening to a talk given at the Brisbane City Bible Forum. We hope you enjoy the presentation.
Hi everyone, welcome back and great to have you along this morning to our second Bible shot, playing on the term coffee shot. So I've got my coffee as I speak with you. Hopefully some of you have grabbed a coffee on the way in. There you go, I've done my coffee bit. In fact, I might finish that off. My name's Dave Pitt, and work with the City Bible Forum. We've got Gemma, Scott as well, in case you're new to the scene. And what I want to do in these three short talks, hopefully short, all done by 8 o'clock so you can get off to work, is implant three images into your minds to do with your work. And last week we started with the image of a refinery. I'll kind of recap that in a second, but I introduced things last week with another lens, another image people have when they think about their work, and that is grumpiness. And I kind of held up the grumpy guide to work. And so that's one way you can view your work, through an image of grumpiness. And you can kind of have these thoughts of, I owe, it's off to work I go. That's why you work. Or maybe you're just treading water until you get to retirement. For some of you in this room, that's quite a long way away. And you think, how will I keep treading water until I can actually relax and enjoy life again? So how do you view your work? Last week, we introduced the idea of a refinery, that you go to work in a refinery. The refinery is one of those things that takes something that is in a kind of an unusable state, in a raw state, and it puts it through a series of processes, and sometimes quite dramatic processes, in order to refine it and make it pure and special and usable and valuable. And I put it to you that that is what God is doing as you step out of your elevator into your workplace, as you sit down at your desk, that you're being refined, that God is changing you through processes that might be quite dramatic and might be like a real refinery. Quite hard to see what's going on from the outside with a series of pipes and steam coming off somewhere. It's, how is all this working? So that was the first image, and yet God is doing something in you. And so the second image is that of a cathedral. And when I've spoken to some people about the titles for these talks, they've been like, what on earth are you talking about, Dave? I didn't know you worked in a refinery. I didn't know you worked in a cathedral. Are you working in a cathedral now? And I'm like, no, it's kind of a collective eye. It's, you think about your work as if you work in a cathedral. Now think about cathedrals for a second. Got one on a picture up here. They're beautiful, aren't they? That's what they're designed to be. They're ornate. They have these vast open spaces when you go in, and it's designed to draw your gaze upward. And what's all that communicating? It's communicating that you've entered into a special place, isn't it? You're on holy ground, that this is where you meet with God. And just as when I walk around the city these days, I'm constantly looking up. I'm like, that is a fantastic building. You look up to these skyscrapers. And in fact, many people have said that the skyscraper is replacing the cathedral in this kind of, here is holy ground. This is where you escape the mundane of life and you go somewhere that's special. And the idea of kind of your gaze being lifted up, which is why it's called kind of ornate, and the stained glass windows up in the roofs, is you're looking up to the heavens and you're escaping the mundane of this life. And so if you ask the question, where is God praised? Where is worship offered to God? Well, I think most people think in the cathedral. That's where God is praised. But I think it's an unhelpful way to think about things. And maybe that's not the way you think at all, so you're already on board. Because what that does is it reinforces this sacred-secular divide that the New Testament just doesn't teach. Because the world is God's cathedral. The world is God's holy place. And as you read the Bible, God is praised in many ways and in every place. And so I want to suggest to you today that one of the ways that God is praised is in and through our work. Your work is conducted in the sight of God as much as you're singing and serving and giving on a Sunday if you went to a church, any kind of church, whether it's a cathedral or not, that your praise is your work is offered as praise to God. And I want to show you that in the Bible. You've got a handout there. 1 Peter, again, is the place where we're having a look at. Last week, the idea of that refinery came from 1 Peter chapter 1, where we were told that there's various trials come as a test for our faith. Whereas this week in chapter 2, have a look at it, it says there on your sheet, as you come to him, that's as you come to Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight, sorry about the spelling, typo there, not the sight of God, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. I love this image. It's as if there's a construction going on, and there's a master builder, and he's looking for the stone that will lay the foundations, the cornerstone of this building. And when they come to Jesus, all speaking in metaphors here, of course, he is rejected. The human building code, so to speak, doesn't see Jesus as worthy of being the cornerstone for this building. It's been rejected by people, but God sees the preciousness of Jesus, and he is chosen and special. And it's saying that as you believers in Christ, as you come to him, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. See, God is building a cathedral of praise to himself. Now, I hope you can see that this is not talking about singing or even what we do at church on a Sunday. There's nothing to do with that here in this part of God's word. But he's talking about all of our lives, including our work. And so when you step into your building today, wherever that is around the city, you are in holy space, because the whole world is God's space. And what are we to do as we come to this Jesus who is rejected by people but chosen by God? Well, have a look in verses 9 to 12. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. It's a great picture of what God does as you come to Jesus. Verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honourable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. How is God praised? Where is God praised? You see that there in verse 12? It is through your deeds, through your conduct, how you hold yourself. God is praised through your life. And you'll see there in Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, a fairly famous part of the Bible, you're the light of the world, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. How is God praised? Where is God praised? It's through your good works. Well, what does this look like at your work? How does this play out? I'm indebted to a resource called Fruitfulness on the Front Line. Some of you may have heard of it or read it. And what they do is your front line is wherever you spend most of your time. And the book helpfully kind of summarizes six different ways to think about your work, and that's on the back page of your sheet. How is it that God is praised through our work? How is it that you can say that you work in a cathedral? How is God praised through what you do? They've come up with this model, the six M's, which helps us to think through, rather than the only way that God is praised is if someone becomes a follower of Jesus, which is obviously is a wonderful thing, and that's actually the last of the six M's. It identifies five other ways that we can think about being fruitful at work. How many people have actually kind of seen this or read this book to work out kind of whether I'm speaking to newish people to this? Okay, completely new for many. Let me quickly run through it and then we're done as a way of showing you this idea. The first one is that God is praised through your godly life, as you model a godly character. I should say that all of these assume that you're known as a Christian. God is not praised if you're just a nice person in isolation, but it's because you follow Christ. And so you model godly character. This is part of the good deeds that bring praise to God. So when you're provoked, you show self-control as an example. God is honoured. When you broke a peace between two colleagues that are fighting, and you do that because you're a follower of Jesus, you're reflecting God's character as the peacemaker. So one of the ways that God is praised is through your godly character at work. Number two there, you can make good work. This comes from Colossians chapter 3, which says, whatever you do, work heartily as if for the Lord, which reshapes everything that you do from being just simply mundane tasks, and you're actually doing it for the Lord, in sight of the Lord, empowered by Jesus and for his glory. And so the book kind of says a number of ways that we can make good work that, and kind of they're all summarized by contributing to human flourishing. How does your work, which is where you kind of zoom up and go, how does this little task that I'm doing actually contribute to what God loves in his world? Human flourishing, so things like bringing order out of chaos, generating provision for people, bringing joy to people, creating beauty. All of these can be done in praise to God as God's character is reflected. Number three, you can be a minister of grace and love. This is the practical things that you can do for people who might just need your grace and love in the workplace. And as you do that, God is praised. You're showing what God is like. And so it could be cooking a meal for someone, visiting someone in hospital, having the time to listen to someone, offering grace and patience towards someone who is difficult and no one else has any time for. God is praised as we reflect his generosity and his care. Number four, you can make culture. Culture, it says there, is the way things are done around here. What's your workplace culture like? And I guess that we're talking here mainly of kind of microculture, the culture of your floor, of your office, not necessarily changing, you know, the whole culture, although that would be good as well. But what is the culture? Is it a culture of grumbling? Can you shape that or to be more a culture of thanksgiving? Is the culture at your work to blame others when things go wrong? Could you shape it around actually taking responsibility and modelling that yourself? Is it a culture of gossip? Could you shape the culture by changing it towards where you use your speech to build others up and praise what they're doing rather than just gossiping about people behind their backs? The next one, being a mouthpiece for truth and justice. This is speaking up for those who might be oppressed, and challenging things that are going on that are unjust or unfair, standing up for the marginalised in your workplace, perhaps those from other religions who might be getting a hard time, or other, just anyone who's being treated unfairly, or maybe it's the fair use of resources in our world. Maybe you stand up and say, no, it's not right the way we're treating that customer. Obviously, none of these are easy. But God is praised as we model his ways to the world. As we saw in all those texts, people may see your good deeds and give glory to God. God is being praised by the way you work. And every time you step into your office, there's an opportunity for God to be praised through you and by you. And of course, finally, being a messenger of the gospel, in many ways, the pointy end of it all. Hopefully you can see, but how much more you're speaking about Jesus in the workplace is given body, given shape by the way you've been living through all these other five M's. And so, to finish, can I encourage you to view your work as being conducted in a cathedral? That your workplace kind of is like that in your head, where you're stepping into an arena in which God is praised through you and by you. And can I encourage you to pray for opportunities to model these six M's. How can you personally be a person who can shape the culture, who can model a godly character, who can minister grace and love to those around you?